Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Class dismissed. Not so fast, diploma seekers. We've got one more test for you all. What did Susan B. Anthony do? Who was president during the Great Depression and World War II? Who is third in the line of succession after the president and the vice president? There's a stumper. In Arizona, there's a civics test you have to take before you can graduate with questions like these. It's the first state to require citizenship tests for high school students. 18 other states are considering following its lead. Former Congressman Frank Riggs is currently the president of the Joe Foss Institute, the group that's been pushing for mandatory civics tests around the country. Welcome to The Takeaway.
It's my pleasure to join you.
So who is the 13th president of the United States? That's a cheap shot. That's really off base here.
That's okay, because 13 is my lucky number.
Oh, good. Excellent. So what do you think the principal value is of a civics test in the state of Arizona or any other state?
Well, it's to ensure a minimal level of teaching and learning in the most essential subject in our high schools, and that's basic civics education. And I say the most essential subject because I would submit that the most important mission of our high schools is to prepare young people graduating high school, turning 18, you know, becoming adults, and presumably, hopefully, registering to vote, to be active, engaged citizens in our participatory democracy.
And what kinds of questions are you looking for here? Because I would think there'd be a tension between, you know, knowing who Susan B. Anthony is and knowing, you know, who the candidates for president are in 2016.
Well, again, this is a baseline. It really is a floor in terms of what we hope our young people will be taught over the course of their high school education and what they'll know about state and American history and government. But when we were basically conceiving the idea of the Civics Education Initiative, it seemed to us to be a logical, common sense idea to propose that our high school students take, ideally, although we defer to state and local control at the end of the day in terms of what that legislation looks like, but ideally take the same test that new immigrants must take, the naturalization civics test that new immigrants have to take in order to be naturalized, in order to become American citizens.
So immigrants, would you say, have a step up on regular high school students because they're already looking at this sort of thing?
Well, I wouldn't say that. I would simply say there are basic facts about American civics, our unique history and heritage as a country, the rights and freedoms and responsibilities of citizenship that all Americans, new immigrants, high school students, should know. And they should master this in order to be, as I said earlier, active, involved citizens, because the vitality, the health, the future of our republic depends upon an active, engaged citizenry.
How excited are people about this test? Because in some ways, it might actually make even more complicated the business of graduating students.
Oh, I don't think so. I think people are quite excited about the idea because, you know, our government, our country depends upon the consent of the governed, the consent of the people. And maybe we've lost sight of that fundamental founding principle of America somehow along the way, you know, these last 200 plus years. But I think when people reflect, it occurs to them that this is a good idea, that we want to be sure that our young people have this fundamental knowledge as they prepare to perform their responsibilities in our society, at the very least, exercising their fundamental right, their franchise to vote as American citizens.
Well, here's a teacher from Maricopa, Arizona, Justin Price, who teaches history, government, and economics.
when the students graduate, they'll come out and be better citizens. This last semester, as I taught government, you know, we looked at voter turnout and what I call voter apathy, which is at an all-time high of citizens not showing up to vote, who have even, first they've registered to vote, but they still don't show up to vote. And then compare that to the numbers that didn't even register to vote in the first place. I'm really hoping by putting this emphasis on it, people will come out of high school now, the students and as young adults, will come out more ready to perform their civic duty as voters, as jurors, and they'll just have more knowledge about the country.
Congressman, what do you think is the number that you're going to want to reach that would show a tangible benefit from this civics test? Would it be higher voter participation? What would it be?
It would be higher voter registration and voter participation across the country. We want to pass the Civics Education Initiative, or that is to say, we want state legislation patterned after the Civics Education Initiative to be passed, to be adopted by every state by Constitution Day, September 17th of 2017. And I say bless Justin for his comments, because obviously I think he's on the money. But, you know, I was actually speaking yesterday with Seth Andrew. Seth is a remarkable guy. He is the founder of Democracy Prep, 15 schools, 10 of them in Harlem, charter schools, educating 5,000 students. And Seth and his co-founders established as a founding principle of the Democracy Prep charter schools that all students would have to take and pass the U.S. civics test with a passing grade of 83% or better. And as Seth puts it very well, that's just the floor. They have a very rigorous curriculum that stresses civics education. So there are those enlightened, I would even say visionary educators like Seth, like Justin, who understand how critically important it is that our schools stress civics education, that they make it a primary purpose to educate young people, again, about our unique history and heritage as a country and the fundamental rights and responsibilities of every American citizen.
Who's weaker in civics, in your experience? Is it Americans, native-born Americans who maybe don't spend a lot of time thinking about this? Or is it immigrants who are really working hard to try to assimilate and be a part of their communities?
That's a very good question, and I have not seen polling or survey data on that particular question. So I don't know that any demographic group is, you know, better or worse in terms of performance on the civics test. Of course, today, the civics test, with the exception, for example, of the Democracy Prep schools that I just mentioned, but the civics test today is administered strictly to immigrants. It's called the civics test or the naturalization test, but it's administered to immigrants as a prerequisite to American citizenship. But we have seen the polling data that shows a woeful lack of knowledge about American citizens on the part of young adults. We've all seen the anecdotal man on the street bits that entertainer like Jay Leno used to do as part of his Tonight Show routine. We've seen it. Bill O'Reilly makes it an occasional feature on his show. And, you know, we laugh because, you know, it's somewhat humorous, but actually that lack of knowledge, that ignorance is appalling, particularly when you stop and think about the men and women of the United States military who have defended and preserved those rights since our country's founding, and obviously many of whom have made the ultimate sacrifice.
Has there been a question that stumped you from any of the civics tests that you've looked at?
I can't say that along the way, you know, when I've taken the test, I've always gotten 100%, but I've always performed extremely well. In part, I think, because I've always had an interest in government, going back to when I was a student and was involved in student government. I'm student body vice president in high school and student body vice president in college. So I've just always had that interest. But I think in part I was blessed because I had parents. I was raised in a family that stressed public service and the importance of being an informed, engaged, active citizen. But, again, we're saying you know, that the passing grade should be the same that that immigrants need to get, 60%. Although I personally think that's a very, very low bar. I'd like to see it higher. Just 2 days ago, the North Dakota state legislature passed civics education legislation, mandatory civics education testing based on the civics education initiative, our initiative. And they that legislation raises the passing grade from 60% to 70% in year two and thereafter. I mentioned again, Seth Andrew and Democracy Prep, they require an 83% or better passing grade. So, but right now we're saying you got to start someplace to ensure this basic knowledge of American and state history and government. So we say 60% should be the passing grade, the same grade that, again, immigrants have to get in order on the test in order to become citizens.
Isn't this material already covered in social studies?
Should be. I mean, people, that's another question that has come up, which is, well, you know, do you need to develop, you know, a mini curriculum around, you know, lesson plans, you know, or an online course around the test? But the fact of the matter is, you know, I have a great deal of respect for professional educators. And quite frankly, this kind of basic civics knowledge should be incorporated into the curriculum throughout the high school years. There's a lot of very creative ways to teach this kind of basic, you know, knowledge, this basic set of historical facts. And number one, and number two, there are a number of enrichment activities, you know, ancillary activities that many schools offer that also teach and reinforce these facts, such as student government, such as Boys or Girls Nation. There's lots of ways that this information can and should be delivered over the course of the high school years so that a student, certainly by the first or second semester of their senior year, is well prepared to take and pass the civics test.
So, Frank, who wrote the Federalist Papers?
A number of individuals did. Most prolifically, James Madison,
nice.
Alexander Hamilton,
nice.
And others.
John Jay
yes.
was in there, yeah. Yeah.
Yes. John Jay, yeah. later Supreme Court Justice, yeah. Chief Justice.
Now you're piling on here. All right, how high on the Declaration of Independence is the signature of George Washington?
How high is it?
Yeah.
He's not a signatory.
Ooh, he's good. He's good. He's good. Frankie, you're good. All right, so I'm not going to try to stump you anymore, but it's been a pleasure talking to you, and we'll see how far this goes. I've got two kids in high school. I'm sure they're not going to want any more tests between now and the end of their years, but I'm pretty confident they could answer these questions.
This is the test that every American, certainly every high school student, should look forward to taking as they cross that threshold into adulthood. And hopefully, again, become active, involved citizens. You know, Dr. Franklin walked out, and Mrs. Powell came up and said to him, and that closed constitutional convention, well, doctor, what have we got, a republic or a monarchy? And, of course, he famously replied, a republic if you can keep it. Well, keeping our republic depends on that active, informed citizen. So everyone should embrace the Civics Education Initiative, and every high school student should look forward to taking and passing it, and then again doing their part, their duty to participate in the government of our country.
Frank Riggs, former congressman from California, president of the Joe Foss Institute, the group behind a mandatory civics education test in American public high schools. Thanks so much.
It's been a pleasure.